Bloomberg, the first word with Ken Pruitt.
Our guest is Stephen Schork of the Schork Group in Villanova, Pennsylvania. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, let's get you started with a forecast here. We have NYMEX crude at 102.53, down 49 cents. Where does it go from here?
Ken, we jumped higher back in February over the President's Day weekend on a long holiday on some rhetoric that came out of Iran. But since then, we haven't heard anything. We haven't heard any headline. So you have to figure that we got up to this range, and that range was about 110, 105, based on those headline fears about supply in the Middle East. We've been slowly drifting lower, bleeding lower, as it were. Last Friday, we took a very big hit. We're back down, as you just pointed out, to in the mid-102s. At this point, without a headline, you have to expect the current trend is going to take us back below 100, given that 105, 110, Ken, was not justified by, say, demand, but rather just fear. Whatever that fear is, seems to have subsided. And now it looks like we're headed back to where we started when this all began, and that would probably be back down into the mid-$90 range for NYMEX TI.
Okay, does that mean gasoline is through going higher?
Not yet, but it does bode well for the normal seasonal pattern. Keep in mind that the pattern up this year is that we do tend to see high gasoline prices. This is because we are now making the transition, or we already have made the transition to summer-grade gasoline. That requires different chemicals to blend to make this kind of gasoline, and it is a more expensive process. So as refineries continue to acquire and manufacture this type of gasoline, we do tend to see prices rise, and those prices do rise up through the holidays and typically peak between Memorial Day and July, 4th of July. Usually by the second, third week of July, we've peaked and we start moving lower back into the fourth quarter. Now, the difference here, of course, was the headline risk with Iran, which drove crude oil prices so high. So this seasonal move has been exaggerated. The one big caveat that we all have to be concerned about, especially here on the East Coast, is that this summer, more than half of the refineries that typically manufacture our gasoline are out. They're closed, shut in. They're not going to be making gasoline. Same situation in Europe. We have a number of refinery issues in Europe as well. These refineries are closing because they simply cannot pass on the cost of very high crude oil onto the consumer. So as we go into the summer, what we have to really keep an eye on are gasoline supplies in the East Coast. If we go back and resort to our normal pattern of seasonal growth, then yes, everything is great. And pretty soon, we will have seen the highest gasoline prices yet. But if we have continued refinery operations, and if that leads to any sort of chink in the supply chain, then the answer obviously is no. We're going to see higher prices. So right now, it's looking good as far as the consumer is concerned. It's looking the best it has in months now. And without a further headline out of the Middle East, we can expect oil prices to continue to move lower, and eventually, with a lag, gasoline prices will follow.
Well, Stephen, tell us more about the refinery situation.
Oh, absolutely. Right now, we had here in my hometown of Pennsylvania, Delaware County, I am watching the death of another great Pennsylvania manufacturing industry. I watched the steel industry die in the 1980s, and now I'm watching refinery capacity in Philadelphia die. We've had two major refineries, the Marcus Hook and Trainer facility, closed, and we're going to watch the Sunoco facility in South Philadelphia closed. Earlier, we saw Hess's joint venture with the Venezuela and down in St. Croix closed. Problem is, Ken, we can't take $120, $125, $130 oil, which is what the acquisition cost for these refineries is. Now, we're talking right now about $102 oil on the New York Mercantile Exchange. People have to appreciate that's not the real price of oil. The real price of oil is $15 to $20 higher on the global market. And these refineries over the years simply cannot take oil at that level. import it, manufacture it, distribute it, market it, so forth, and make any sort of stable margin. In fact, over the 10 years, it has been the slope on these margins for refineries on the East Coast has gone on the chart along the x-axis from the top left to the bottom right. And simply right now, when you're looking at a 5% margin in a market as volatile as this, it simply doesn't make sense. So what we're seeing now is a switch in U.S. refinery activity away from the West Coast, and we're going to see even increased, greater activity in the Gulf Coast and the Midwest, because these markets will have access to very cheap oil that is now trapped in the central United States, oil that is coming online from North Dakota and down from Canada. These refineries have access to that real good oil. Refineries on the East Coast do not, and hence we are watching one industry on the East Coast die right in front of us.
Well, Stephen, what made everything change? You know, at previous times, years past, gasoline would go up and we would hear yet again that, well, we haven't built a new refinery in America since the 1970s. There was a shortage of refinery capacity. Now we have refineries shutting down.
Yes, indeed. And what has changed is environmental law and the access to sweeter, better quality crude oils. The shift over the past 10 years, because of economic growth around the world, has been to a denser, high sulfur type of crude oil. Now, the refineries on the East Coast simply cannot or do not have the technical capabilities to refine this oil to a great quantity. So unable to do that, it would require billions of dollars of investment to get these refineries up to grade to be able to process this crude oil. And right now they're making the decision for various reasons that investment is simply not valid, will not get that kind of return. So instead, they're just going to shutter the machines, their facilities here, and make investments where they're bound to make a greater return, and that will be either into, certainly away from manufacturing the product here on the East Coast and moving it, investing in assets in the Midwest. The problem, Ken, is that refineries in Europe are also having this problem. Now, anytime we've ever had a refinery issue in the United States on the East Coast, we got out of it by importing gasoline from Northwest Europe, from their refinery hubs in the Amsterdam, Rotterdam, Antwerp market area. But as we go into this summer, it's a whole new ball game because refinery capacity is down there as well for the very same reasons, if they can't make money. So now the question is, if we're making less gasoline here in the United States, we're making less gasoline in Northern Europe, where is this gasoline going to come from? Someone is going to sell it to us, but they're going to do it at what? A price. So that is the risk going in, is where are we going to get our excess demand? Either we're not going to consume it here in the United States. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing and what that means as a function of growth in the economy, but that gasoline will come somewhere. We're either going to have to ration demand here in the United States, or we're going to have to pay more for it as we import it.
Stephen Shork of the Shork Group on the line from Villanova, PA.
You can listen to Bloomberg The First Word weekday mornings at 5 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012 Bloomberg LP.